Welcome to How to Write Kai Papers, the podcast. I am Dr. Leonard Nacke, an associate professor at the Stratford School of Interaction Design and Business and the director of the HCI Games Group at the University of Waterloo in Canada. It is difficult to turn an exciting HCI research project into a successful Kai publication. This podcast is here to help you. This is episode 6, interview with Kasper Hornbeck.
So my name is Kasper Hornbeck. I'm a professor at the University of Copenhagen in computer science. And I'm interested in all parts of HCI, but for the past couple of years, I've worked a lot on user experience and a lot of body-based user interfaces as my two main areas of interest.
Thank you very much. So let's dive right in and start by asking you one of the things that interests me a lot when I'm trying to teach new graduate students about what to do and what not to do when writing a Kai paper is, what do you think is the biggest mistake that students make when they're trying to write a new paper or trying to get a paper accepted at Kai? Like single-handedly, in your experience, what's the biggest mistake they make?
Actually, I think it's probably before writing, because I guess it's picking the wrong problem or the wrong thing to write about. So I guess most mistakes makes way before writing begins. But I guess if we just think about writing, like starting out researchers, but even myself included, people just start too late, in particular for non-native speakers, but I guess even for native, it's just hard to write 10 pages that are coherent, tells a good story, anticipates the reader's questions, and are thorough. So yeah, too late, I guess.
Too late, yeah. Makes sense. What advice would you give people that are writing in terms of style, now that we've said, okay, there's general problems that they might run into, such as picking the wrong topic or starting too late? But if you look at the writing style that they have, maybe in your case, particularly with graduate students that are non-native speakers, what style advice would you give them for building a Kai paper? Is there anything that you think works really well or doesn't work well when they're trying to write a good piece?
I think, so just in terms of pure wordsmithing, I think just being direct, and in particular, if those of us who struggle with English short sentences, not pegging too much in, making one paragraph, one thought, and all that stuff, I think is useful at a slightly, I don't know if that's writing style, but at a slightly higher level, I use a lot of time when I try to write papers with students and figure out the right argument. So we do like maybe just one line arguments for, so 4 or 5 lines of argument for an introduction or for a discussion, so that the narrative and the structure is clear.
Okay, so really trying to structure the argument, I guess, is one of the big things here.
Just actually a lot of times, at least for me, it's also a matter of just figuring out what are you actually trying to say before you just write a lot of sentences. Or maybe after you've written a lot of sentences, try to structure it and make it coherent and make it into a good story.
You talked a little bit about length, and as a non-English speaker, like how to structure the words, word lengths and so forth. Are there any words or phrases that you hear students do? There's a big debate about passive or active voice and things like that in research papers. Do you have a strong opinion of how that should go in terms of wording and phrasing in general?
I think at least my students make lists of words they know I hate, but I'm not even sure it's right or not, but there's just a long list of words I really dislike in writing. But I think mainly it's probably, I personally have a hard time understanding complicated sentences, and I really try to weed out empty sentences or sentences when nothing happened. But I guess, so in that way, I don't think those unusual writing rules or writing ways or anything. But yeah, there's words I really don't like, but I don't think they're that interesting, and maybe they're not right.
I have some of those. For example, I have in order to, which I really hate. I always like to instead of in order to, and my students already know that I'm looking at the paper, they better get rid of that because I'm just going to cross it out.
Yeah.
So I think that's normal. So in terms of excellent writing, as a positive example, are there any Kai papers that you remember, or maybe even books or other things where you've seen excellent writing or great writing that you have actually been inspired by?
I think there's a lot of Kai papers that contain really nice writing. I, for instance, really like some of Shun Shai's papers, very simple, direct, and to the point. And then there's this whole, at least in my head, it's sort of a British school of super beautiful writing, like Christian Heath and Paul Love or Richard Harper or Kenton O'Hara, sort of, they can just write. So I'm just amazed sometimes about how elegantly they can discuss a topic. So those are all actually so part of doing. I did a paper for this guy on problem solving in HCI, and been doing that. I read all the best papers from CHI 2015. And so there's just 21 of those. It takes a couple of days. And I thought that was really amazing because I thought all of them, of course, maybe very different topics, but super well written. And that taught me a lot on writing.
Nice. I will surely look those up for the course. So in terms of structure, we know that CHI papers usually follow a rigid structure, something like abstract, introduction, related work, main methods, results, discussion, limitations, future work, all that stuff. In terms of the abstract, I've heard it a lot of times that people say the abstract is really the most important bit of your paper. I wonder if you agree with that statement, and how the heck do we write an effective abstract for CHI?
Yeah, no, sure. I think it's really an important piece of the whole document, but I guess it's now, it's often read still with the document. But anyways, well, that's one of the few parts of a paper I'm pretty good at starting on very early. So actually, for most projects, people in my group, an abstract very early. So that can be actually half a year before submitting anything. It's not necessarily for CHI. And then we iterate a bit on that, and just and in the end, of course, it will be a completely different abstract. But for me, it also guides the direction of the work. So I guess for me, a good abstract, I really like that there's a problem, that it's clear what problem a paper is solving. Some technical papers don't really use that style, but I really like problems. I like to know the solution to those problems. And then I like to know some sort of perspective, or a bit more than the results. So some kind of perspective or one discussion point or something like that.
Would you say it's important to end the abstract with a main contribution and a takeaway?
Well, I guess it can be for some papers. For some papers, So actually, I think in CHI paper writing, I think those categories like the old Bill Newen work on contribution and benefit and significance also, I think they're very nice. But I think some people begin to write as if though they have to force feed you with the contribution and bullets with contribution. And I actually think it's really terrible writing. So I'm not particularly a big fan of bringing that out. I know some people do that. Maybe I occasionally do that too. But in general, I think it should be obvious. I hate a little bit the idea that papers turn into a list of bullet points or these structured abstracts where that's very predictable. So I don't particularly care about that. It could also, maybe it could end with a perspective or a direction or a new set of, I don't know, problems that come out of this work or whatever, which may not be a contribution. I wouldn't like the may, or at least which may or may not be the main contribution.
Okay, so this is good. But in general, you agree that the abstract is a very important part of a paper. Now, if we look at the other parts, introduction, related work, main methods, results, discussion, is there any part that you think is particularly important when papers are getting reviewed? In your experience being on committees at CHI and having seen what reviewers say, has there been a preference for or a non-preference for some sections that people have said, if they would only have written this section better, that paper would have gotten in?
First of all, of course, not all papers follow this structure, and I guess it's fitting for a number of papers, but many other people write papers that deviate quite a bit from this with good success. So in a way, I think that I personally really like discussions. I think that's, if you assume that the but you can't. But if you could assume that the method and the results was okay, then I think in one way the discussion is where the interesting things would be happening. It's where there would be comparison to the earlier results, a sort of state of the art, or what we knew before this paper, and it would spell out what we know now and what we can do with that. So I really like discussions. Most papers, what are they rejected on? That's a good missing related work, screwing up in methods. Maybe those are the main, even in the abstract, sort of just not having an interesting enough problem. or a problem where when you get the results, you say, so what?
So this is actually good. So given your direction in the community, which I would say is user experience in general, what would you say makes an interesting problem for the user experience community?
I have a list of concrete questions for the community, but I guess that's not quite what you are after. So I guess I'm more, and now I guess we're both in the situation where we send out things for review and we look at them. I'm probably happy to accept the paper on any topic as an AC or as a reviewer, but I think the authors need to work in the introduction and related work to convince me that there's a real and not just made up or invented problem, and that they have some sort of interesting angle, not necessarily a solution, but just an angle or some new data or some perspective on that problem that's worth reading. But actually, then it can probably be anything. For user experience, there are these particular problems that would be exciting to see people tackle, like what happens to user experience over a long time, or what are the factors that make an interface good, and so on. But I guess most papers are more, at least my own, mainly more modest than that and taking smaller problems. But I guess for me, well, anything could be interesting. I mean, it can be a replication, it can be a completely novel thing, it can be a tiny aspect of user interface, or it can be what makes an interface good sort of contribution. I don't really care.
Okay, so lots of different options there. In terms of excellent papers or papers that have tackled excellent problems in the community, are there any examples or maybe even of your own papers that you can think of where you would say they've tackled a very interesting problem and they've written a great paper about this?
I think there are so many good papers, as I mentioned those. I think in particular, I mentioned this example of reading just all best papers independently of whether or not they were inside or outside my area. And I thought those were super interesting. There was Kai 2015, a brilliant paper on notifications that outlined the different types of theories we have about notifications, and then made some experiments that sort of contrasted those theories. There were stuff on gender biases in search. There was highly velocitab, highly technical paper on sentence level correction in text entry. And I thought for me, all of those were really excellent and interesting.
Cool. That's great. That's actually, I think, again, very helpful in terms of trying to synthesize what makes a great paper. Now, especially in your case where you've read all these best papers, do you think there are certain areas that are just more likely to become a best paper, like certain research areas that are pretty hot or pretty sexy, I think, to Kai, that they might get more best paper nominations?
I don't know. So the whole best paper thing, it's not like that's also a process, right? So it's not an absolute standard. But of course, there are hot topics and there are less hot topics. In some ways, I really like when people contribute to a non-hot topic in a very convincing way. So I guess there was a WIST best paper last year that dealt with the collaborative web editing. I thought that was really great to see advances there. So I try to make good work, and I'm pretty sure that good work eventually will be published. It's not always at Kai, and of course it's nice to get best paper awards, but I think they probably mean that they are really good papers, but they are also really good papers that are rejected or just accepted. And in particular with respect to controversy or new approaches and stuff like that, I'm not sure I would expect to see that pop up for best papers. There are counter examples.
So do you think something that's safe, like Fitts' law or something, that's maybe easier to get these kind of papers than something that's a debated topic then, or does it not matter?
I would be amazed if there's a Kai best paper on Fitts' law. Yeah, but I don't know. There's some debate papers that make best paper awards, but I don't, the mechanics in this a little, it's not so clear to me how that happens.
Okay. In terms of content and the analysis that's done, do you think there is a preference towards qualitative or quantitative studies if it's a study paper? Or have you not noticed anything like that? Or maybe even from the design side, do people prefer evaluative papers or design papers? You said yourself that you've tried some different ways of writing a paper that are not your standard evaluation paper. Have you noticed any preferences in reviewing the papers and dealing with ACs?
I think that everybody is sensitive now to differences in methodology and disciplinary backgrounds and so on. So I think Kai is pretty good at accepting many different things. There's some subcommittees that are maybe more open to some types of papers, and then there's these generic ones, maybe understanding people, that I think you could probably more or less, you could send a lot of different types of paper to that subcommittee. So I don't think there's a big bias for or against anything on the whole. Of course, for individual papers, there will be discussions about this. I personally think that those discussions are a complete waste of time, because I think everybody should know by now that the problem is central and the method is secondary, and the method can be anything depending on the problem. But I actually think we're fairly good at dealing with different approaches, even different statistical approaches also has been discussed. But I think it looks like we're doing that fairly well. So I don't feel a bias or a preference towards particular things.
Okay, perfect. So let's veer off a little bit more towards the personal questions that concern the way that you're writing your papers. So one of the things that I have asked a couple of people and gotten actually interesting answers is what technology people use for writing their papers. This can be the programs that you prefer. There's obviously Word and LaTeX and so forth, and different operating systems. Are there any little helper programs that you consider, like these are little nuggets that you just give as tips to your students, a thesaurus or a dictionary or anything? Things like that. Is there anything that you have in your arsenal of paper writing tools that you're especially happy about? And just tell me what you generally use to write your papers.
Yeah, I generally use Word and Zotero as a reference manager tool. Some people are I'm in the computer science department. Many of my colleagues are computer scientists. They want to write in LaTeX, and I hate that, but I do that as well. So that's, I think, often Share LaTeX, but other web-based LaTeX systems we use for that. And that's about what I use in terms of writing.
Okay, sounds good. So pretty standard set of tools, and depending on
special or tricky or whatever in that way. No
special tricks.
Okay. No, not really.
So what kind of environment, once the Kai deadline comes around, we all get a little bit crazy, there's 3 to 4 weeks left, and we start to build our own little writing environment. Do you have any special environment that you use for writing? Do you just make it happen around you, or do you listen to specific music or some sort of noise? Do you have anything that facilitates you getting into the mood for writing, or is there nothing?
It depends a lot. So I have papers where I'm very happy about the process and I would like to talk about those, and then I have papers that I'm not happy about the process, and I can also talk about those. But for me, ideally, and it does happen for some papers I submit to Kai, ideally writing doesn't take place in the last month. Ideally it takes place in the spring or up to the summer, and then there's time to get feedback from colleagues or to fiddle with it. Occasionally I've sent papers to proofreading if they're really done early on, but that's how I would like it to be. And it's not always like that. Most of the time it's not like that. But I usually, it's rare that I'm the driving force in writing. So most of the last part of, like when we're down to weeks or days, I usually mainly comment on stuff or edit things that are already done. And I have no particular, I don't think, I rarely listen to music, and I just try to get it over with.
Fair enough. That sounds good. So, and I actually really like that you talked a little bit about your writing cycle, that you start in spring and then do some more over the summer in terms of polishing, and then hopefully have it all done for the good ones. And we all know that there's other projects where this timeline doesn't happen that way. So
I think, and even the timeline can, even loads of projects I actually, so I have something I write on now, which is intended for the next guy. So sometimes I start very early, and I like that, of course.
In terms of collaboration, would you say that generally you write more collaborative papers? Are you a fan of starting something yourself? I mean, it's with different jobs, you have different obligations, right? Some of us are researchers, some are professors, and don't necessarily have the same amount of time for writing. How would you say, does it usually go for you? Do you start the project, or at your level of seniority, is it more that you're dealing with the students, bringing, pitching a proposal, and then you're guiding it through all the way to the end? Or do you have a mix of both? How does that usually look like?
I really like to write. So I like to interfere with the people I'm collaborating with in papers with them. A lot of the time, not a lot of the time, sometimes I would write the initial maybe introduction draft. Could be. I like first page introductions a lot. Sometimes we'll write those and discuss those as a basis for the project. So it's not particularly about Kai, but it's just a way of thinking about whether the main lines of thought are in place. And then I have, of course, people around me that when they have time enough are so good at writing that I better just let them write and edit and discuss with them. But I really like to write. I really like to also write discussions, so it's hard to keep me away from that. But then some people are gentle enough to edit it afterwards. So I like to be involved in writing. I think that's fun.
Awesome. I actually agree with you on that point. My favorite is also introduction and discussion sections. I always feel like that's giving things the right angle, and it's really a lot that you can do there. So talking about that, thinking about your own papers, what would you say is your most favorite paper that you've written? Is there anyone that you can point out where you say, this is a paper that I've written that I really like?
I have many papers I like for various strange reasons. Right now, I really like the paper from this year's Kai I wrote on problem solving. It absolutely doesn't follow the structure we talked about earlier. It was super hard to write. I'm sure that people would be, in writing it, we thought a lot about how people would react to it and try to anticipate questions. We even made sort of a frequently asked questions within the paper. Maybe it's just because I remember it's this reason. But I think there was a lot of things in writing that paper that was relatively successful. But I guess apart from that, I more think about, I guess, papers in terms of what I think they did research-wise, and then some really old ones that I think is really good. So the first Kai paper I presented myself in 2001, I still think is really good.
Awesome.
And it's probably terrible writing. I didn't look at it for a long time, but I think the content was really interesting.
Nice, nice. This is very good. In terms of structure, again, if you're seeing a paper, have you ever thought about a paper that you had under review that you didn't like in the end just because of the way it was presented? Because oftentimes we do put a lot of emphasis, at least towards the end, to making the figures look nice, making the tables look nice. Has there ever been a case where you actually thought, this is actually good content, but they've presented it so poorly that I really can't accept that paper? Or has it been the other way around sometimes, that the content was so good but the presentation this is the same?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, essentially.
I think so from that perspective, I think I once heard Human Sai say something about continuously evaluating content or substance over style. And I really try to think about that both with respect to figures and with respect to spelling or like English skills in general. So I would really like to try as a reviewer or as an associate chair to see through bad presentation and potentially even help people improve it. But then with that said, not everybody thinks that way. A lot of decisions around acceptance, or some decisions around acceptance and rejection, are taken by people who have very short time to get the idea of a paper. And there I can just see that in particular videos, but also of course figures, structure, repeating yourself endlessly through a paper so that no one is confused, and all these things are important tools. So I guess it's worth spending time on that. I think in some ways it's a little sad, but I'm sure there's papers with good content that are rejected, or if they're on the edge for some other reason, that are rejected because of presentation or videos or figures and so on. So I think it's a place where people can help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So my final question is, do you have anyone in the Kai community that you always admired in terms of having an academic crush on someone that you say, oh, if I could only do research like this person? Or have you always thought of yourself as that person that you're doing the research you've always dreamed of? Or is there always someone that you thought, oh, if I could have a little bit more of that in my own research, it would be great?
No, I think there are so many people to learn from and imitate. I'm not sure if I want to do names, but I think there are people who submit papers that are way more theoretically deep and thorough than my papers, and I really admire those. I think also that there are people who submit papers that are crazy in really interesting ways. So just tackling a way, expanding at least my notion of how one should do research and how the types of technologies you can construct. So lots of stuff that inspires me all the time. Okay. I already made many names. All of those I like.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. That concludes our interview. So thank you so much for taking the time for this. And I look forward to catching up with you at the future Kai conference.